Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Aditya Malani from the HT Media Group. I would like to welcome you all to our Quarter 4 and Full Financial Year 22-23 Earnings Webinar. As a reminder, all the participants will be in listen-only mode. After we are through with the presentation, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. I now hand over to Ms. Anna Abraham, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Anna.
Thank you, Aditya, and a very good morning to everyone. On behalf of HT Media Group, I welcome you to our earnings webinar to discuss the financial results of the fourth quarter and full year financial year 22-23. On the call with me today are Mr. Piyush Gupta, Group CFO, Mr. Parvez Bajan, Group Controller, and members of our Investor Relations team. I trust you had an opportunity to go through the financial results of Hindustan Media Ventures Limited declared this Tuesday and HT Media Limited released yesterday. Kindly note that our remarks will track with the presentation on this Zoom webinar. This presentation, along with the financial statements, is available on stock exchanges and the investor relations section of our websites. We start with the cautionary statement. Kindly take this into consideration. As per practice, we do not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Moving on to this slide, it gives our chairperson's comment on the performance of the company for the quarter, and I quote, "In the last fiscal, your company witnessed a growth in its top line, which came after two pandemic-impacted years that saw a broad industry-wide slowdown. As a whole, our business saw an improvement in the year, despite concerns arising from sustained input cost inflation and supply chain bottlenecks. Geopolitical strife hampered supply lines across businesses and impacted raw material costs, especially in the first half of the year. The second half of the year witnessed a relatively subdued festive season on account of sluggish retail spending, but the year ended with an uptick in business sentiment in our key segments and a slight softening in raw material prices. On a full year basis, our print business posted revenue growth on the back of an improvement in advertising as well as circulation revenue. The revenue of our radio business has also seen robust growth owing to sustained strength in FCT and improvement in non-FCT performance. Our digital business performance was at par, and this business remains a key focus area for further innovation. Profitability remains subdued due to elevated input costs led by newsprint and business development expenses in the digital business. Indian OTT space is one of the fastest growing pillars of the media and entertainment industry. Hindustan Media Ventures Limited looks to tap this potential with the launch of OTTplay.com, a platform which aggregates OTT content with focus on abundance, convenience, personalization, and affordability. In the current fiscal, we are focused on building on our growth momentum from last year as we navigate the larger macro environment as well as the evolving media ecosystem. As always, our endeavor is to be a source of credible news and engaging content for our audiences. Quote ends. Moving on to the agenda for the call today on slide number 4, we will begin with the performance update with the comments on our consolidated financials for the fourth quarter and full year financial year 22-23. This will be followed by detailed remarks on our print, radio, and digital businesses. We will thereafter open for a Q&A session. With that, I
want to
hand over this call to
you. Thank you, Anna. Good morning, everyone. We'll be tracking the presentation here. As you can see on the first slide, we've got a consolidated financial summary. For the fourth quarter FY23, our total revenues tracked to 494 crores as against 456 crores same period last year, growth of 8%. EBITDA is, however, substantially down 75%, primarily due to certain investments that we are making in OTT Play and the elevated newsprint cost, which have hampered in this quarter. PBT margin, as a consequence, came to a negative 34 against 10 crores earlier. And net cash, however, still remains reasonably strong at 935 crores, which is a decline of 14%. On a full year basis, our revenues tracked to 1862 crores, which is a growth of 11%. EBITDA, however, because of the same reason which plagued us in the fourth quarter, came in at 13 crores, which is a sharp decline. PBT therefore came in at a negative 156 crores and net cash at 935, which I have articulated earlier. There's some commentary given in the bottom of the screen. So if we may move on. Now, if you go by business unit, we look at our print business. On the print business, our ad revenues for the quarter came at 269 crores, a growth of 8%, with circulation revenue growing 12% at 60 crores. Operating revenue, therefore, at 374 crores, a 5% growth, and operating EBITDA declined by 65% to 15 crores. On a full year basis, the print revenue was 1,062 crores, which is a 12% growth. Circulation revenue at 236, which is an 18% growth. Operating revenue at 1434, which is a 13% growth. And operating EBITDA came in at a slightly negative 2 crores. Moving on, we break it into English and Hindi. On English, in the fourth quarter, our revenues grew 17% to 154 crores. On a full year basis, the growth was 15% at 588 crores. Circulation revenue at 16 crores was a growth of 64%. And for the full year, it was nearly doubling itself from 28 to 54 crores. Moving on, now we track Hindi. Hindi for the quarter, our ad revenues came flat at about 116 crores. On a YOY basis, it was a growth of 8% at 474 crores. Circulation revenue, again, flat on a quarterly basis. On a full year basis, there was a marginal increase of 5%. Looking at our radio business, our quarterly revenues came at 36 crores, which is an 18% increase. Operating EBITDA, however, came in negative as opposed to 1 crore same period last year. Full year, however, was a very different picture. Full year, we saw our revenue soaring 42% at 144 crores as against 101 crores earlier, and operating EBITDA came in at 6 crores. Lastly, our digital businesses in this in NST Media Group remained flat with a top line of 32 crores and a bottom line of negative 22 crores for the quarter. On a full year basis, again, it was flat at 133 crores, with a bottom line of negative 75 crores. With that, we come to the end of the presentation. We open the session for question and answers.
Thank you, Piyush. We will now begin the Q&A session. You can click on the raise hand option, which will enable the moderator to unmute you for posing your query. Please introduce yourself before posing your query and kindly restrict to a maximum of 2 questions per participant, so that we may be able to address questions from all participants present. We will wait for a few moments before the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ranga Prasad. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Good morning, everyone. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead. Good morning to you.
I'm an investor from Hyderabad. My name is Ranga Prasad. At the outset, let me say that I'm very disappointed with the financial performance of both NST Media and HMBL. In particularly HT Media. See, earlier we were told that the poor performance was mainly due to a sharp increase in newsprint prices. But now there's been a sharp decrease in newsprint prices. Also, shipping costs have come down to 80%, I'm told. In spite of all this, we're showing steep losses, both operationally as well as non-operating loss. In fact, I'm shocked at the non-operating loss. Over 103 crores was written off this year due to write-off in a subsidiary and impairment of a deposit given to intercorporate deposit. I'd like some light to be shed on these write-offs. The While there's been some turnaround in the print business, on the digital media front and on the radio front, we are seeing sharp losses. And until these turnaround, I don't see any possibility for the company to show a sharp rebound in profits. So I'd like you to give some roadmap as to when we can expect some turnaround in these two segments also. I'm also surprised that in the digital segment, we're showing a very small investment of about 13 crores, but the loss is about 76 crores. So it looks as though we are showing all our expenses as a revenue loss. So shouldn't we be capitalizing some of these expenses as a capital item? Because we can expect a certain stream of revenues to flow in later years. I'd like you to say something on that too. Anyway, okay. I'm disappointed with the whole performance. I hope things will improve from now on. Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Mr. Ranga Prasad. So much as you are disappointed, obviously we're looking for better results ourselves. But let me give you a certain flavor of our results for the quarter and indeed for the whole year. You specifically mentioned about English. As you are aware, our English newspapers primarily there in Delhi, Bombay, and Chandigarh. Apart from that, we do have presence in some other cities. Now, in places like Delhi and Bombay, though the newspaper prices, as I've already highlighted, are very escalated. You mentioned about a shipping cost which has come down, but you have to understand that this is not a real-time impact which comes to the P&L right away, because there is some inventory which has to be built up for continuing operations. So the impact of shipping cost and of course the commodity cost which has come down now, you will see in the subsequent quarters, that is absolutely a foregone conclusion, but doesn't happen on a real time. But however, apart from just the input cost, one of the other big problems that has been plaguing us is on our yields. The pricing that we had pre the COVID in big, if you talk about HT, in big markets on Delhi and Bombay still hasn't come back. As a matter of fact, in places it is short by 20-25%. Now that's really what is hampering our revenue and taking away the operating leverage from the P&L. Now as we embark on the next fiscal year, and we've already completed now the month of May nearly, there's a big program on yield improvement that we have put in place, which we are hoping to unlock the value and go back to our pre-COVID yields. The paper prices, of course, coming down, which you will see translating into EBITDAs and therefore PBT and PAT in the coming year. But with the revenue uptick, you will see the profitability come back to a pre-COVID and a very robust level. So I will just stop there. There were further questions you had asked about the digital segment. I will request my colleague Anna Abraham to give you a color on those. Anna?
I think there were two questions. One was on the impairment and the other was on the digital segment. First, addressing the impairment question, the impairment is actually in the standalone results. Therefore, it is not impacting the consolidated results at all. So that's the first point. And why does that happen? Because over time, on a consolidated basis, whatever has been the business performance of those underlying subsidiary has already got reflected. However, at a certain point of time, we also on a standalone basis have to take a fair valuation of the investments per se, and that subject to that, the impairment has been taken. The critical reason, radio, you mentioned radio is in losses, but you would have seen that radio performance have been consistently quarter on quarter, they've been reporting very, very healthy revenue growth. And for the full year also, it's north of 40%. And the radio has improved substantially from the loss position of last year to a profitable position this year. In the current quarter, there is a marginal loss on account of one-off spend that we have incurred for a particular consulting arrangement that we had undertaken. Otherwise, the underlying business itself is profitable. Having said that, while there's been significant improvement in the radio business, because this was the one medium which was slow in recovery post-COVID, but this year we've seen that coming. We have seen volumes come back. However, Like I said, recovery was slow. It was delayed by a year. While it's a fixed license business, so from the accounting and the evaluation point of view, given the discounting and the period to which it gets discounted, etc., we had to take some impairment. But like again, I repeat, it is not impacting consolidated results. It is only on the standalone results.
If I may just add on, Anna. Mr. Prasad, on the radio, your point is absolutely valid. Yes, we've taken an impairment in the standalone results, which is all consequent to our radio performance. Though the radio performance has substantially improved this quarter and the growth is close to 40%, given the fact that impairment testings have to be done this quarter, there is a substantial impairment which has come. This is all on our Radio One. And, with this and the growth that we are seeing in radio, we are very hopeful that this is the last time that we have seen this impairment. And from here on, radio will grow strength to strength. So I would like to give you a comfort that radio, I think, has seen the worst of times. But you have to understand the background in which the FM radio business across has been impacted. If you look at various other radio operators, their profitability indeed has also been impacted. And, this is one sector which is directly linked to the performance of various MSMEs. And what COVID did to MSMEs is taking a slightly longer time to recover. But we are very hopeful now that we have seen a 40% growth in this year. Next year, we will again have a stupendous year and a profitable year on our radio segment. Anna, would you like to take the last question?
Yeah, last question was on the digital segment. The revenue that you're seeing is only of the businesses that we earlier had. And therefore, that is why you're not seeing a substantial shift in revenue. Substantial increase in cost that you are seeing is now because of the fact that the OTT Play we've launched is a new business line and it is now being clubbed along with the digital segment. You talked about capitalization. So we've been in various discussions over the last year talking about the fact that we are incubating a few businesses and trying to come up with, as and when we are on a revenue monetization plan, we will start reporting it as a separate segment. So this year, between all the experiments that we've had, we've now launched OTT Play. And therefore, the coming year is the real year where we will start seeing a revenue monetization. And in the current year, the nature of the business and the arrangements do not allow us to take it in capitalization. And that's why we have transparently disclosed it as a operating cost. Piyush, if you want to add anything.
Yes. So Mr. Ranga Prasad, now that we have, classified that into our digital segment, let me speak a little bit about OTT Play. This is a business that has been in beta stage for about 6 to 9 months. And now, since we've understood this space, we have decided to commercially launch down on this thing. What exactly is OTT Play? As you understand, OTT is one of the fastest growing Indian sectors in the Indian media and entertainment industry. It is growing at somewhere between 18 to 20%, as against the other media properties, which are growing anywhere between 10 to 15%. If we look at subscription video on demand, that side is expected to reach about 16,000 to 17,000 crore by 2026. And it is growing at a very healthy clip. With that, we believe that all the demand drivers, the smartphones, the various peripheral devices, the smart TVs, etc., being in play, broadband being available to the masses, and 5G being launched in India, with this space is now ripe for aggregating. As you are already aware, that various spaces which have already been aggregated, you take a case of financial products. You take travel, various other places, food, various of these places have been aggregated and running a very successful business. However, OTT Play, which is growing at a very fast clip, is ripe for aggregation. We've been working in this place for quite some time, and now that we have got the proof of concept, we are investing behind this function, which is sitting in our digital segment of the business. And you will see results coming out in this year. That's basically what I wanted to say about OTT Play. Let me also give you a few points why we believe that OTT Play will be successful. If you look at from a consumer standpoint, Now, from a consumer standpoint, consumers are very frustrated that they have to navigate across multiple platforms watch to watch. I mean, OTT started in India about 10 years ago, but right now there is a proliferation of multiple platforms and customers are struggling there. The recommendation of individual platforms are largely irrelevant because the customer's profile are not carried across the platform. So, you know, the genres, et cetera, are lost in one platform to the other platform. And, you know, with the subscription that people have to pay for individual platforms, it's a very costly proposition. We are trying to solve all these problems from a customer point of view by bundling multiple OTTs and serving him on a single login where his profile remains. You know, the content that a particular customer wants to watch travels to him and he gets at a very economical price. There are also, you know, problems on the platform side that we are trying to solve here. I mean, for every platform, the cost of content, the cost of acquiring customers, et cetera, is very, very expensive. Here, because we are into a media space and we are, you know, we are selling advertising and we are selling subscription, we will optimize that particular piece and drive some value. So that's what we are trying to do with OTT Play. And that is the expense that you are seeing in the P&L.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for a very detailed explanation on the digital side. Now, one thing that you've not yet addressed is the intercorporate deposit written off about 51 crores. I hope it's a one-time write-off and we're not going to see any further impairment in this intercorporate deposits.
Yeah, so when I was addressing impairment, I was actually addressing both because both impairment in equity and impairment in corporate deposit is linked to the radio business. It is so the business gets valued and whether we hold the investment in terms of equity or whether we hold it in terms of debt, both will get corrected based on the underlying valuation. And therefore, it is that radio impairment itself which has led to the impairment in the ICD as well.
Thank you very much for the clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Prasad.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Bangar. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead, Piyush.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. My name is Piyush from Vigil Global Securities. And my first question is, what is the newsprint prices right now? And do you see any further fall in the prices?
Yes, Piyush. So let me try to take this question. You know, currently our newsprint prices are about 60,000 rupees a metric ton. And as we are looking out next year, we are already seeing that softness happening. So we are very hopeful that these prices will come down about 10 to 15% from here on. I'd like my colleague Anna to elaborate on that.
Yeah, the 60,000 metric ton is what we are looking for the running quarter. What we closed the quarter four is at about 64,000 per metric ton.
Okay, so that 64,000 is the average price of the newsprint, what Piyush had.
We lost you, Piyush, if you could just repeat your question.
Okay. So my second question, am I audible right now?
Yes.
Okay, my second question is, what is the average price of newsprint in your inventory for this quarter and as well as for the whole year?
Okay, the consumption rate for the quarter is roughly at about 64,000. And in the next quarter, we think it will come down by about 7-8%.
Okay, so I have another question. My next question is, can you provide me the bifurcation of other income heads along with the amount in FY23?
If you could give us a minute.
Yeah, please.
So the biggest component of this is the profits that we have made on sale of properties in the current year from the portfolio that we hold as part of our ad for property business. And that accounts for the major number here. as well as, you know, and because we manage some sale, some of their holding properties also saw MTM gains on that. So the other income is primarily MTM gains on financial instruments in addition, in financial instruments and property that we are holding.
Okay, so can you please share the percentages of the share, the profits from the property business and the other?
Yeah, we couldn't get into such level of details, but it's broadly all on MTM gains on the this financial in the event that we hold.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have another. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants that you may use the raise hand option on your screen if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from Yash R. Please introduce yourself and ask your question. Mr. Yash, you are not audible. Please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, Piyush. Good morning.
Hey, Yash.
Yeah, hi. So I have a couple of questions. The first one is with regards to the employee cost that we are seeing in HMVL. It has gone down from 40 in the previous quarter to around 37. So what's the reason behind this? I mean, it's around 7-8% if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's around that much.
You're looking at quarter on quarter or why?
No, I said quarter on quarter. It has gone down from 40 to around 37.
Okay. There is a one-time reversal in this quarter, which otherwise the employee cost is flat.
Okay. What would that be? If you can just let us know what exactly that is, because I think this has happened last year as well.
Every year.
Yash, let me just give you a color on this thing. You know, most of the employees have a part of fixed and variable. And depending on the performance within a certain group, certain part of variable will be paid or will not be paid. So those true-ups happen typically at the period ends. So this is something, you know, the magnitude of this might go up and down depending on the performance and hence the payability of variable cost, but it'll happen every quarter.
Sure. Okay. My next question is with regards to the return that we're getting on investments, you know, with the rates going up.
Yeah. Well, yes, you know, I think that's a great question. So let me give a moment. Now, you obviously sitting in the financial market, you know, the last year RBI did indeed raise the repo rates by about 2.5 percentage points. And you know the how the bond yields tracked, etc. So, you know, last year was a very, very tough year and probably one of the tough years in the last decade that we have seen such a sharp gradient increase. So in that last year, you know, our yields of closing, you know, approximately tracking the FD yields, and we did not, you know, go beyond that. But as we step into this first quarter, we're already seeing the mean reversion happening, and you've seen the bond yields are coming. Of course, we've churned our portfolio quite substantially, but you have to understand that you have to take care of the long-term, short-term capital gain requirements, etc. So, you know, our treasury is now again, you know, having substantial mark-to-market gains in the coming quarter. But last year, we have tracked close to FD yields only.
And what about this year?
The start has been very, very encouraging.
No, I mean, what's the number, if I can get that?
Well, number you'll find in the printed results once we released out. I mean, treasury income is already sitting in there. But, you know, I think that math is very easy to be done. But as I said, it's close to the FD yields.
For current year as well? The previous
year, I just told you. Current year, you're talking about FY24, aren't you?
No, I'm talking about FY23.
FY23, close to FD yields. That's what I said.
Okay. All right. That's about it.
Thank you.
The next question is from Sakshi Chabra. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hi, this is Sakshi from Swan Investments. So I wanted to just understand that what is the total expenditure we have done so far on OTT Play, and going forward in the following years, what sort of expenditure will be incurred on that platform?
Well, Sakshi, as I was just articulating to one of the earlier participants earlier on, for the last 6 to 9 months, OTT Play has been in a better state. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. So as I was just articulating, the last 6 to 9 months that we've been, in the better stage. What happened? Okay. Look, Anna, would you like one?
So the most of the significant change that you're seeing in the cost line is on account of OTT Play. And as Piyush said, we're going to be investing behind this business quite a bit. So we don't give forward guidance on specific numbers. So we won't be able to share what the numbers would be. But this is the investment of the future, and we'll be investing on that.
Okay, but in the previous year, can you quantify what was the total expenditure you would have done on this platform?
We wouldn't want to get into specific details. Maybe you could just go by the trends on the spends variation as we explained.
Okay, all right. Also, can you explain a little more as to how the platform will work? Like, what would be the your revenue drivers for this platform?
So, Sakshi, let me take that question. The way the platform's going to be, we're going to be bundling a substantial amount of OTT plays into a single login proprietary app called OTT Play, which we have already tested for the last 6-9 months. We've already closed our content arrangements with quite a few major OTT platforms, and some of the other conversations are in work at this point in time. And we've already taken this product to market in some micro markets where we already reaching out to customers who have either multiple OTTs or who are currently, who don't have OTTs and, still watching content, let's say, on a cable TV and would like to get access. We are offering them on a bite size as well as annual package. I mean, monthly packages and annual packages where they can subscribe to OTT Play, get access to 15, 20 OTTs and watch that content seamlessly across the platforms without going into those platforms for a subscription, of course. So right now, the big effort that we are doing is taking the product to various end consumers, and that is what we are doing.
Okay. And can you divulge as to what would be the price point that you would be launching this at?
So multiple price points, Sakshi, depending on users, because, there are different sets of user we are addressing, is there are different channels that we are going through. So a monthly OTT Play subscription can range anywhere between, 200 rupees and thereafter, depending on where we are getting that user from. And starts with 200, goes all the way up.
Okay.
But suffice to say, the whole will be much less than the sum of parts. So if you have to get those OTTs by subscribing to them, you'll be paying a fraction of that.
Right, I understand that. But in terms of the content, will you be able to, will you just be providing some part of the content that is available, say, like on a Netflix or an Amazon Prime, or will they be able to get access to the entire sort of content that would have been available had they subscribed directly?
So once the OTT is on our platform and it's bundled into OTT Play, you will get access to the entire content on that particular OTT without any
restriction. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Welcome. The next question is from Naveen Jain. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Naveen.
Hi. So this is Naveen from Florin Tree Advisors, Mumbai. I had a question on OTT Play. Which entity will this business sit in?
Naveen, it's sitting in HMVL.
Yeah, is it a subsidiary or it's part of your standalone HMVL entity?
Part of our standalone HMVL entity. It's a division of Hindustan Media Ventures Limited.
Okay, understood. Okay. Obviously, you're not sharing the exact amount of investment that you have done, but going by what we can understand about the trend, can we expect similar kind of investment in FY24, or given that you'll be launching it in a major way this year, the expenses could be on a higher side?
The expenses could be higher, Naveen, but as it was in beta, there is no revenue to back up the investment. So now, though the investments will be higher, but revenue will be substantially higher. So investment to that extent will be mitigated. That's the point I was trying to say when I said it was in a beta stage and now we are taking it to market after doing the proof of concept that we have finished now.
Fair enough. And one thing was, so let's say something like, if I understand correctly, Sony Live or Z5 is already on the platform.
Yes.
How does the arrangement work with them in terms of, what do you pay them for, aggregating the content on your platform? Is it like a revenue share out of the subscription income that you earn, or is it some sort of a fixed commitment that you have? How will it work out?
Naveen, the latter. There is no revenue share here. It's like a fixed commitment, but because these are deeply negotiated contracts, for a substantial period of time, there's a long-term contract on a fixed commitment that is done, and there's no revenue share built here.
Okay. Like when you say long-term contract, what kind of like 3-year, 5-year kind of contract is it?
Well, look, multiple OTTs, as I said, are multiple negotiations are happening. Sony Live and Z5 is already there on the platform. Those two contracts are also different. So there are multiple agreements that we are doing, which we believe will help our economic model the way we are carving it out. But there's no standard design to a contract.
Okay, understood. Obviously, this is like a fixed commitment. So, it will be a fairly, this year, because last year we were hardly operational for 6 months or so. So this year, this fixed commitment will come in, whereas revenue will take time to build, right? That is a fair way to think, right?
Well, yes and no. We are already in the market on the revenue side. As I said, we've started this journey now. So investments will step up, but the revenue will step up as well. Maybe there's a lag of a month or two, but it's not going to hold on for 6 months or something like that. A month here and month there can happen, but not more than that.
Okay, understood. So, just one, again, a further question on this. So when I look at your app, right, OTT Play app, let's say a monthly subscription, one of the plan is about, let's say, $2.99 per month. And below that, you're saying market price is $3,607 per month. So effectively, you're saving $3,308 per month. So when you say $3,607 per month, you're basically adding up the monthly subscription of all these platforms which will be available to me effectively, right?
Yeah, but that's the only way to do it, right? So, if you have to access all those platforms on a subscription model, that is what you're saving. You're absolutely right, Naveen.
Yeah, it seems like great value, it seems.
Thank you.
Okay, just one final question from my side. On the Hindi print side, right? So last year on an overall basis seems to have been quite subdued, right? So what is the outlook we have for the coming year?
Well, let me answer that question in three parts. Of course, the newsprint price or the commodity cycle coming off, I think we've all discussed. So that will obviously be good on the cost line. But on the revenue side, Naveen, one big thing that happened was that a lot of copies got dropped out during COVID. And the race to build them up is a very slow, but a very hardworking model, which we are on. So this year, we will be doing a major impetus on building back our copies, the substantially good copies in the markets that we believe have a good revenue potential. And that journey we are already on. And on the ad revenue, as I articulated earlier, our plan of trying to shore up our yields is definitely on. So those two drivers, building up the copies and, working on your advertising yields are the two big factors that we will be driving this year.
Understood. Okay. So maybe a 10% kind of growth will be conservative, or you would be aiming for a higher number. I know you don't give exact guidance, but
yeah,
look, that's a way to think about.
I would like to give that guidance, but as I said, in a very tough market, building copies in a very competitive market and trying to push yields up, going close to the pre-COVID levels. I mean, it's a tough task. We are all at it. Now, will that yield 10% or 5% or 20%? I would like to hazard a guess on that.
Fair enough. Yeah. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Yash R.
Yeah, hi Piyush. So since we are on the topic of copies, where are we on the recovery versus pre-COVID for our HT English and HMVL?
So Yash, I would say broadly, let me just look up the numbers. Anna, you want to call out the numbers? Okay, so while Anna is pulling out the numbers, Yash, let me just give you two trends that happened during the COVID. Of course, when the copies were dropping, they were dropping across. But when the copies are building up, some copies will never come back. Some copies are coming, readers who are taking two copies are taking one copy. So they are exercising, their choice there. And of course, new readers are far and few in between. So at this point in time, if I have to talk about copies between English and Hindi, in print English versus the pre-COVID, we are at
about 15% of the pre-COVID
number. Of the pre-COVID, 15% below. I mean, we are 15% down versus the pre-COVID number. And these are the copies that we are trying to build now.
Okay. And what about the Hindi business?
This is
HMVN?
This is overall.
Yeah.
Okay, English you said 85, so HMR is also going to be at the same level?
So look, I mean, English is slightly more sharper, so English copies are down 20-25%, Hindi copies are not so down, so on and so forth, but average number is about 15-17%.
Okay, and now for example, Bombay being a good market, especially for English, what's a subscriber base percentage as to how many of us or how many of the subscribers are on an annual subscription rather than on a daily basis?
Look, in Bombay, most of our copies are on a subscription basis, which are long-term subscription. Unlike Delhi, whereby we have a lot of line copies as well. But if you have to understand the model, this model is now slowly, which was, let's say, till about 5-10 years ago, pure line copy model, as we call it, on a monthly subscription, is now gradually shifting across all publications, all markets, to be a subscription model. So Bombay, I would say 60-70% of our copies or slightly more than that are on subscription model. Delhi is lesser, but then the model is shifting towards subscription now. But the good news there is subscription prices are now gradually inching up because, when the ad revenues came under pressure, All the publications, including ourselves, we have taken pricing action on the copy side and the subscription price side.
Okay. And what about Pune? We had launched some time back.
Yeah. Well, so, Pune is a technical market for us. Pune is a bolt-on market to Bombay. So Pune market serves a purpose for a Bombay advertiser because those are very, very adjacent markets. So Pune, we don't look at as a standalone market at all.
Okay. Just one more question with regards to the new age digital business that we had started reporting since last year. By last year, I mean FY22. There were quite a few initiatives that we were hearing about, some of them being NFT and something on content as well. So where are we on that?
So we have been talking about that we are doing multiple initiatives. So yes, there is some bit on NFT, etc., and all of that. But those are all small at this point of time, and nothing is a real line of business. The one major line that we are betting now is on OTT play, which we are therefore investing behind as well.
But then those initiatives are still on the cards, right?
Well, look, those things on NFTs, etc., that we had started reporting or, telling about were really experiments at that point in time. We were just testing out the proof of concept. But I think as a business segment, it will be OTT play. And I don't think NFT is a business segment at all.
Okay, sure. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you all. With this, we come to the end of the Q&A session. If you have any further queries, please reach out to the investor relations team. Our contact details are given in the investor presentation and are also mentioned on our websites. I now hand over to Piyush for closing remarks.
Thanks, friends. Thanks for joining the call. And I know it's been a very, very tough quarter. But as we just had a very good discussion around various levers of the business, which we think are all moving favorably, you know, we should be in a position to report much more favorable quarters from here on. And, you know, I wish you all the very best and thank you so much. Stay safe.